Greetings, Only Tans. Today is Friday, March 22nd. And yesterday we had TJ Lysik of Own the Moment on the show. And we talked the latest in NBA Top Shot, including subjects like the Pack Marketplace and the Fast Break game. We talked about the latest on his website on Own the Moment. We talked about one of one rookies and what that might mean. Talked marketing. We even talked cheesesteaks, as TJ is from Philadelphia. And we also gave away a couple of rare moments, and that is thanks to our sponsor, floaty.io. If you are looking for the best place to buy and sell moments on NBA Top Shot and other flow projects, do it on floaty.io. In today's episode, I tell you about how to find special cereals on floaty.io. There's no better place to do it. So thanks again to floaty.io. Recall that nothing you hear in this episode should be considered financial advice. And let's jump right into it. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. How's everybody doing? Are you all enjoying the college basketball? I hope so. We have a special guest today. We have TJ Lysik of Own the Moment and many other things. And we are going to be talking all types of things with TJ, the latest in NBA Top Shot, the latest in the Own the Moment website, and the latest in fatherhood. TJ is a new father. So I know you guys came here for the fatherhood alpha. And let's welcome TJ. Should we troll TJ a little bit? Let's see what he thinks of this clip. Here we go.
Hello.
What is your reaction, TJ, when you see a Kawhi Leonard laugh? Are you one of the few people who when you see that laugh, you actually get a little upset or no?
I don't get upset, but you know, the Kawhi did us dirty back in the day in Philly. That laugh, man, it's I've seen clips too of that was his classic one, I feel like, but there's multiple clips of Kawhi just having a very weird dude overall, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, so weird. Very weird, and kind of the best type of weird. Did you see, by the way, last night when Harden throws Kawhi the
yes.
pass?
What? So was he joking? Did he just forget where he was? I mean, it made me very happy that James Harden is no longer a Sixer, because what the heck was that? No matter what if there was a good reason for it or not, that was unbelievable. Never seen anything like it.
I've never seen anything like it either. I think the only time I've seen it is in like pregame warmups. So that was sort of my idea, that maybe he thought it was a pregame warmup when you like, you know, you sort of play loosey-goosey defense on your teammates as they're shooting. Otherwise, I just can't understand it. I mean, imagine if he actually blocked it. That would have been so much better.
Yeah, like he was kind of close. I guess you have a advantage on getting a step on someone when you're the one that passed it to them. It's like a little easier to close the gap.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was amazing. I really enjoyed that. But anyways, what else is going on, TJ? I know you also, obviously, we have March Madness. We have the OTM offering of whatever you're allowed to call it, like March silliness or March men's basketball silliness or whatever you guys name it. And you also, I know the other day you did a stream on Top Shot. So I've always enjoyed when you've done your Top Shot rundowns. I think that there's not many people that do that anymore. And I feel like when you do that, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Appreciate that. It had been a while since I'd done much on the Top Shot side. Sorry I don't know if you can hear that in the background. You mentioned that
a little baby.
Yeah, my bad, everyone. But it was like literally as we're sitting backstage, it's like counting down from one, and then the crying starts. I'm like, of course, that happens. But yeah, like I enjoy breaking down the Top Shot stuff and kind of just looking at what's going on. I mean, for me personally, I have a pretty sizable Top Shot collection, but I haven't really actively. I don't really actively buy and sell. I don't know. I kind of, not a conflict with Own the Moment, but I don't know. I just focus on, you know, providing the data and kind of being unbiased from that perspective. And yeah, it just really caught my eye, the big sales that were happening. that was something that I had not really seen in a while, especially when multiple of them started happening. So on, I know
why do you think that happened, TJ? Like,
exactly. Shout out sponsor Floaty. Big sales going down there, and you can get moments for less than a dollar. Call me Mike Levy. I can give the Floaty pitch as well. But great timing on the hat there. So yeah, and so started doing another Wednesday stream. Just I kind of walk and like if they have flat fast break going on, I enter my fast break lineup. I enjoy talking that through. I think that's been a lot of fun. So yeah, I think between fast break, between the pack marketplace too, is another thing that I've found interesting on Top Shot and has gotten people more back engaged. So when there are, I like when Top Shot is doing things where it makes sense to create content around them, right? Whereas if it's just, you know, and the Rookie Revelation pack, that's another, to me, something that is a big deal and arguably the biggest drop that Top Shot ever had. When it's, you know, every week $10 packs and this and that, it doesn't really lead to much in terms of being able to create content around it. But once we got some of this stuff rolling, I felt like it was a good time to just kind of share my thoughts. And yeah, I was doing so at the beginning of the season too, and did the same with NFL All Day. Nothing really came of All Day this year, but hey, it is what it is. And some of my threads that I made some threads back in, like, I don't know, October, November. I'd actually be curious to go back and see what has happened since those, because that was back Roham had done his Q&A or whatever with the first mint. And yeah, it'll be fun to go back on that kind of 6 months later.
Well, it's good.
See what has happened.
I just appreciate that you're making content, because I think so many people, if you look at how many people were making content, like, I don't know, 18 months ago, and how many people are making content now, it has truly fallen off a precipitous cliff. I mean, yeah. But I think it shows you when people organically are making content, it's because there's stuff to talk about. So it's great to see. And what is your take, though, on things like fast break? Actually, two things. One is fast break. And I know you're a very business-minded person as well. So, like, first of all, you have packs, a pack marketplace. I also agree with you that the pack marketplace is excellent. It's a great way to give people ways to get wins in ways that are different, and Dapper can sort of benefit from that as well, that people enjoy it. But what do you think when you think about, like, what sort of got us into this predicament years ago, where everyone is rushing onto NBA Top Shot to just flip and make a buck? How is that different from what we have now with the pack marketplace?
It's a good question. I think there's a certain element that flipping packs doesn't kill. I've never thought about this, but think about it in real time. I feel like it doesn't really kill the economy the way that the flipping of contents within the packs created a problem early on, if that makes sense, right? Because early on, it was everyone bought the packs, I don't know, say cost $100, and then you were able to turn around and flip the contents of that pack for $500, $1,000. And then that creates the situation where people are then buying the specific moments at these really high prices. And so then they kind of have the moment tied to the price in their mind. And then we've never gotten back to that point. Whereas to me, there's something different, like psychologically, of when I'm overpaying for a pack, I'm kind of paying for, like, the experience. Like I almost know that I'm taking the gamble, if you will, on whatever is in that pack. So maybe there are some elements there, and frankly, probably some elements to just, like, you're not thinking about the price paid for packs the way you are as, like, oh, I paid X amount for this moment and now it's worth this amount. And overall, I do feel like I've seen less rhetoric in the Top Shot streets be only about the prices and actually talking more about the players, the moments themselves, the ability to use them in fast break. So I think that's good. I think we are taking steps away from people only caring about the price of a given moment, which is healthy and also just creates more fun conversation. It was getting a little not so fun when people are just only talking about the values and the values and the values. And I understand that sites like ours contribute to that because we're providing that information. But yeah, I feel like it's just provided other ways where people can get involved on the platform and detach a little bit from like the moments and the dollars.
Do you think we're finally at that point that that people were wishing for, where it's like we have actual basketball fans now on this website? Is that, do you think, have we finally reached that promised land?
I think we have a subset of people that started that are basketball fans. I don't think that we've brought in new basketball fans, if that makes sense. So I think like of the percentage of people on the platform, I think a lot of them are basketball fans. Yes. I think they're mostly the same basketball fans that have always been here versus, you know, I don't know how many basketball fans are on the platform that joined in the last 3 months versus they came 3 years ago and have stuck around. I don't have data to back that up, but I you know, and yeah, maybe there's a whole subset of users that are just not in Tandy's live stream chats and the Discords and on Twitter, right? Maybe there are those people, but I think for the most part, you see a lot of the same names, which isn't a bad thing. I think that the core that is here today is the actual core type of people that you want to build around versus, you know, I think there's a long time where there was a core of people that, I don't know, any business could build around them because they just wanted to extract.
Those damn and rent seekers.
That doesn't really work.
what would be another word you could use for a core group of people?
What could be it? Is this a riddle?
I'm just trying to play a drop.
What's your drop? Play it.
We love the community.
As soon as you played, I was like, oh, it's the community one. I've seen this. When you asked that question, I'm like, this has to be, there's a specific word you're clearly looking for. Community.
Yeah. There's that aspect of it. And then of course, Fast Break. I love Fast Break. I mean, I know there's some people that question certain aspects of it, and there is an aspect of it as well that is questionable, that they have to figure out some way around it. And again, you as a business mind, I would be curious what your take on this is, because in the short term, I think it's awesome. It's so well made. It's just fun. It's the most fun I've ever had playing like an online fantasy style game. Me personally, I'm sure there's other like grinders who prefer some crazy Yahoo Sports stuff, but not me. I really like the prop betting sort of aspect to it. And just, I feel like the layout of it, now it's on mobile. I think it's so clean. It's so great. The naysayers will say, okay, but you only need a limited amount of game pieces to play this game, and there's no real motivation necessarily for the majority of the people to keep on adding game pieces. And also, what happens if it's a finite amount of prizing? What happens when your success is creating a lower and lower percentage of people hitting those prizes? Have you thought about this at all?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things to unpack there. I think from the prizing standpoint, I do think like the culture of, you know, constantly wanting rewards is bad and like tough to keep up with.
Yeah.
I think in an ideal world, the ecosystem and community or whatever would become a little more like traditional gaming, mm-hmm. where status matters, right? Okay. But I mean, we're not there, and I don't think we would get there. But I think, you know, in a utopian Top Shot kind of world, there'd be a game like Fast Break that you play simply to get on a leaderboard because it's freaking cool to be on the leaderboard. And like, that's it, right?
But let me stop you for a minute. Do you do that at all in other fantasy? Like when you're playing, because here's another idea. You could also have Fast Break just be the game board, so to speak. And you're the same way that, let's call Yahoo Sports or whatever you've probably done for the last 20 years. And then the point is, you're not winning any prizing from Yahoo Sports necessarily. It's what happens. You'll call it a layer two with you and your friends group who are doing something separately, you know, like you're putting money down or whatever you're doing. Like, are you playing fantasy games just for the thrill of the game?
I am personally not. And I think most people are. Well, so I think that's kind of the thing, is like, is this intended to be a pure fantasy game? Like, I still feel like there's, and I guess there's probably reasons why they can't lean into saying which is the new way to play fantasy basketball, right? I think that they don't use that word. And I think there's still a little bit of a lack of clarity of like, what is the intention here? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But are you not motivated though, by the fact that you can rip these packs, that you might be able to hit a legendary, you might be able to hit a sweet rare.
No, I think it's motivating for sure. I just think that eventually you have to run out of ways to just keep giving stuff away. Right. I don't know. And maybe it's fine. Maybe the amount of supply or whatever that's being dumped into the ecosystem via Fast Break is fine. And you know what? People have seemed to continue to be happy with it. So I think that if you would have asked me 3 months ago, I probably would have bet by now that people would be over the prizes, but it doesn't seem like that's happening. So maybe it is structured fine as is. And then on the game piece front, I don't personally have concerns there. To me, it's the classic. Most people view that in whatever is beneficial to them, right? So the people that have more game pieces than is needed for Fast Break are like, there should be a need for more game pieces. The people that have just enough game pieces for Fast Break are like, this is perfect. This is the exact number. Like, this is the appropriate amount, right? That, I mean, that's just the nature of it. Nobody that has a small collection is like, Fast Break should have, you should need to own more moments. Like, they're selfish there. Only the people with the big collections are like, well, no, there should be a use for, you know, the specific rare set, because that's what I have. And
exactly. It's always my bags syndrome.
Yes. And that's what's always hard to differentiate feedback in general is, I mean, sure. Maybe there's 1% of people that will give unbiased, like truthful feedback, but most people's feedback is 100% just going to be what is best for them. Or even if they're not intentionally trying to do, you know, to try to design it to be best for them, they're just thinking about their own experience. And so they're just like, oh, this is what makes sense, because that's all they know. That's all they think about, which is fine. But I think that's a thing that we've seen from the beginning in this, is that there's always two schools of people that are saying completely different things because they only care about what would be better for them and better for their bags. So, yeah. And like, you know, I think that was the whole thing with flash challenges, is people masked it, in my opinion, around, oh, it's fun and engaging. But I think so many people just liked flash challenges because it gave a chance for random moments to pump so that then they could sell them at a higher price.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And a lot of fun. I mean, it's. And yeah. I do think there was I don't think it's maybe as bad anymore, but there was definitely a time, and I feel like I see this in All Day more than Top Shot, but something around, you know, the community feeling a little like they have a little too much of an ability to sway decision making, because they have been able to do that in the past. And so then that motivates people even more to suggest ideas that help their own bag. If it's been shown in the past that, hey, if you're loud enough, we will adjust accordingly, then people will just like hammer their feedback that helps them. So
let me know if you have a question for you as well.
Problem for a while, in my opinion.
Hold on, TJ. I think your mic. Let me just make sure from the chat if that's just, or if it's you, but your mic just cut out a little bit. But I'll take a little tiny commercial break here. For we got Jump Shoot with the super sticker. So thank you, Jump Shoot. Ice cream so good. TJ, would you like to do the honors?
Yeah. Let me do it. Do I have to do it right now?
We can wait till your mic's good. You let us know when you're good.
Is this good or no? This is not good.
You're good. All right. So give him the ice cream so good. Go ahead, TJ.
Ice cream so good.
All right, thank you for that. Let's see what else. And he also wanted the supply. You said supply, and sometimes they call out certain drops, so let's give it to him. All right, so it looks like the problem's on my end, so hopefully that doesn't keep happening. This is also a chance. Why don't we start collecting names? Because we have a giveaway, thanks to the fine folks at Floaty. And we will be giving away two rares tonight, for me at least tonight. And the first one is a Jaylen Brown rare, so I thought it would be good to do hashtag left hand. So get in the chat right now. Make sure you're also liked and subscribed, of course, or else you're just a dirty rent seeker. And do hashtag left hand to be eligible to win a Jaylen Brown All-Star Rare. Now, I know a lot of you are watching on Twitter. I think if you're able to comment on Twitter, you will get in. If you want to pop over to YouTube, though, you can make sure you get in. So get hashtag left hand in the chat and you can win a Jaylen Brown Rare.
Isn't that? Ooh, how does that work? If you reply on Twitter, it will.
Yeah, because StreamYard is not reply. I think it has to be in the live stream because StreamYard is able to collect comments from Twitch, from Twitter, from whatever.
Okay. I see the chat. Yeah, you click in and see the chat. Okay.
I can't please. He's like, no. Oh, man. There we go. Bleezy gave in. Listen, Bleezy, we got to laugh about it. You know, we can't take it too seriously and be all butthurt. We got to make it a joke so that in the finals, when Jaylen Brown raises the finals MVP trophy, it will be over his head with his left hand. Okay. That's what we're hoping for. Yeah. All right. So I think I get your take then on Fast Break. And I think like my only thought is if Fast Break goes from, let's say, what is it now? Like 7,500 active users, which is awesome, by the way, compared really nice. To like what we were seeing previously around Top Shot. It's really like reinvigorated the platform. My question is though, what happens if it's like 100,000? Because that's obviously what you want to see, or 200,000. Now, if it's your situation where it's like all about just status and saying that you're in first place, then of course this has no importance there in that conversation. But my thought is there probably has to be something to keep it sustainable, and I don't know what that is yet. I don't think they're going to want to have it be something that feels like a payment to play. I don't think they can do that. But one thought that I had was there could be maybe TSS gated levels of playing or levels of prizing, you know? So like, as long as you have the minimal amount of TSS, you can play. But if you want to be eligible for, I don't know, Fast Break expert mode, you need to have at least whatever, 10, 15, 20,000 TSS, something like that.
Yeah. Or, you know, how about some kind of like league relegation or something? Yeah. Certain people like how soccer leagues work. Like, I don't know. There's something that you do and then you're in the top tier of Fast Break. But if you stop playing or stop performing well, like you drop down and someone else replaces you. yeah. I don't know. I think there's lots of fun things that can be done with it eventually. I think it's been great for the first iteration, for the first year. I think right now it largely serves as a high engagement activity for the community. You mentioned the existing community versus, I say that because it's versus, I don't know that Fast Break is the thing like bringing in new people, at least not yet. I don't know if that's the intention eventually. It could be because people are familiar with those types of games, but where was I going with that? Oh, so you mentioned like the 7,500 users. I think it seems like it's the number has been going up. Correct. Mm-hmm. Which I find to be the most impressive thing. Like for us in Rumble, for All Day, in OTM Hoops, we've always seen throughout the season a decline in entries because the interest is most there at the beginning of the season and then people kind of tail off over time. So to see the active users actually increasing, I think is an even better sign than you would think on paper. Obviously numbers going up is always good, but I think the expected baseline I would have predicted to actually be, it decreases over time. So it kind of makes it even more exponentially good.
But I would also say that instead of being exponential, even though it is exponentially good, but the growth chart is actually healthy. You know,
it's not a hockey stick. It's not like, all of a sudden. Yeah. Right. We went from 1,000 to 10,000 overnight. It's like consistent growth is good and healthy. Yeah. And, you know, it probably doesn't hurt that the overall, like maybe with the overall crypto market doing better, some people that hadn't checked into Top Shot for 2 years, checked it back out, found out that the Fast Break thing existed, started playing that. Like, I think there's factors in play. And yeah, it's this is kind of unrelated, but it's interesting because there's always a group of people out there that have a Top Shot account and have some moments in there and participated in Top Shot at one point, right? And I think one of the problems to date has been that those people, not only are they not coming back, but they're actually less likely to come back, in my opinion, than someone who has never heard of Top Shot before. Because it in some ways, it's better to not even know what it is than to know what it is and think it's a scam, or know what it is and be like, oh, that's the thing I burnt, like lost a bunch of money on, right? So I think if we could eventually, you know, we're at least 2, 3, 4 steps away from that. But if the platform gains enough momentum, there's always that group that if you get them back at a later point in time in a way where the platform and the ecosystem is more healthy and functioning, like it, you know, there's always literal thousands, tens of thousands of people out there that were here at one point. So it's interesting to think about if you can ever get those people back.
Absolutely. I think now's the time to come back. If you're sitting on the sidelines, you know, you make your profits from the latest shitcoin and you funnel it back into Top Shot.
I was thinking about asking you about it. I saw you tweet a little. I mean, dude, that it was actually funny. I'm the new dad recently, so I've been also doing this new dad podcast. And one of the things I was talking about on my last episode was like managing my time as a dad and kind of what some of the things that I was doing before that I'm not doing as much. And it's funny because one of them is not scrolling on Twitter as much, a lot of which is because I don't have as much time, but some of which is also like my Twitter feed is just all this stupid block stuff now. So I found it to be useless. I'm like, what is even happening right here? So I know. This is insane.
I know, but some people are getting stupid rich. I mean, anyway,
I believe it. And good for those people. I mean, hey, you gotta do your grind. It's not necessarily the grind for me, but I don't even really take the time to see what's going on in there. And hey, yeah, hopefully those people are getting rich. Good for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see who wins the Jaylen Brown. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Nice and quick. Not doing the duck race today. Banging it out with the StreamYard giveaway tool. And let's see who gets it. Will it be Bag Holder? It is Pax Headroom. Congratulations, Pax Headroom. Please give me your Top Shot username in the chat. And we also just got a very nice sticker from one Boston-based. He said, I just joined. I can't believe you got Andrew Santino. I know. Handy time, getting big. Ice cream so good. Thank you, Boston-based. Andrew Santino actually gave a hilarious interview with that. I can't forget her name. It's Bobby something. People say that she's like an industry plant.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
He was hilarious. I don't know if you've watched much Andrew Santino, but he was very, very funny.
I have not. Really, I've gotten the comp before, though.
I really enjoyed it. all right, let's see. We have our Twitch guy is in the chat, so let's give him his drop real quick, and then I'll cough. All right. Twitch guy!
I love all your drops. They're great.
I just got to make it as weird as possible. Yeah, there we go. Bobby Althoff. That's her name. What have we talked about, TJ? We talked about Fast Break. Do you have anything else you want to talk about or anything else you want to say about Fast Break or about the PAC marketplace or anything related to those two subjects?
No, I think I would just sum it up in saying that I think those are the two main things that I think about from this season of Top Shot. And I guess alongside the rookie stuff, I think they did a good job of leaning into this year's strong rookie class and doing it in a way where they didn't over dilute the rookies. Yeah. I think they treated this rookies class really well. I think Fast Break was a fantastic addition to the platform. And I think adding the PAC marketplace was also a big win. So I think overall,
what's your take on these one of ones? This is the first time we've ever heard of one of ones. I mean, we knew that there were mysterious one of ones that they created when they first created the entire platform. I forget what those were called. I mean, the ultimates or something. Mm-hmm. And now we've got these one of ones and a bunch of them are going to be distributed to people who like lock all these really costly, wonderful, whatever sets, like the rookie revelation sets and the MGL, no, not the MGLEs, but I'm right. The MGLEs, someone's going to get the one of one Wemby. Actually, no, now I'm talking bullshit. Sorry. But some of these sets you lock. The Wembys, no. Wemby is the MGLE reward. Someone's going to have to bid to buy the one-of-one Wemby, but then there's other one-of-ones that are going to be won by locking sets. What is your take on the one-of-ones?
I honestly have not given them much thought. I guess they're cool. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be the biggest fan of it. I feel like it's going to be something that appeals to a very, very small percentage of the user base. I think that, in my opinion, I would, like, if I was some super whale, I'd probably rather own the jersey match and serial numbers of legendary stuff than the one of one, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a cool aspect to have on it. Have they talked about it much? I haven't heard too much about it. Like, how much do you feel that they are focusing on it as like a key talking point?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely mention it when some of these sets are released, and they'll say, like, if you lock everything here, you're going to have a chance at one of these one-of-ones. Of course, now I can't remember which ones they are, but I think the Wemby and the Chet that you have to purchase, obviously that's going to be a big splash, and someone's going to spend a lot of money. And I agree that it's not really for the middle class or lower class or whatever you want to call them, class of Top Shot collector. It's for, like, literally the richest people on the platform, and I think that's okay. And I also think that that's going to create potentially some news, a little bit of a splash, a little bit of social media awareness, hype, etc. So, in my opinion, I think that's kind of what this is about. I think they're trying to take a similar approach to what, like, the physical world does, where, you know, someone will get the one of one Wemby and they'll show him ripping.
Yeah,
the pack.
All right. I'm coming around on it for sure. I also think, like, you know, what if you project out future years, and then there's one of ones from every season, and this is kind of like the first time. So yeah, it's I'm excited to see what happens with them, I suppose. And yeah, I'm curious how many people are, like, going. Do you know how many people are trying to go after them?
I don't know. I mean, you could probably use your tool to see how many people are locking up some of these sets. I mean, if you can find that, then I'll be happy to share.
You lock up the sets, and then
you have to lock up, like, an entire set. I don't even know if any of them. No, you know what? You could probably see somebody in the chat. Let us know which one was the Brandon Miller. Was that the MGLEs? Do you have to lock up all the Brandon Miller, all the MGLEs to have a chance at a Brandon Miller, or was it the rare rookies or something like that? Let me know, please. And then TJ will share with us and show us how many people are actively locking up everything that's been released thus far. That'll be very interesting to see. Boston Bay says no. I don't know what that means. Gems, rookie gems. So let us know how many people, TJ, if you can look it up. How many people have collected the entire rookie gem set? Yeah, how many people own every single rookie gems? Then we'll be able to see. And top three on his leaderboard, yeah. So they're leaning into that kind of thing. Well, listen, while you're looking that up, something very special about a one-of-one, of course, is the number one cereal. You're going to have the number one cereal. Mm-hmm. But also, cereals are very attractive on NBA Top Shot, and that is the subject of today's floaty educational video. So let's show you it. Something unique about the NBA Top Shot community is we love our special cereals, and there's no better place to find your special cereals than on floaty.io. So once you are on the NBA Top Shot marketplace on floaty.io, you'll go to serial number range. Let's say we want to find a under 1,000 three-digit serial of LeBron James. You'll put in your serial number range, you'll go down here, you'll put in LeBron James's name, and you'll tap it. And there you go. Here's all the moments for sale on floaty.io, three-digit moments of LeBron James. And the cool thing is you can just tap right in and make an offer from within Floaty. Now, what about if you have a specific cereal that you want to find? Well, you can do that too. Let's say you're ever the contrarian and you want to find a 96 cereal of LeBron James, but there's none on Floaty. You can hit show all, and that's going to show you every 96 cereal on the platform. And let's say you really like this No Look 3 96 cereal. You can go right in, make your offer, hope they accept. You can find all of your favorite cereals on floaty.io. Now let's go back to the show. All right. Well, thank you, Tandy Man, for that lovely ad read. And of course, if you,
do you use a Capwing to do that? Have you ever used Capwing?
Is that on the phone?
No, it's like a browser based one.
No, I use something called Screenflow. That's what it's called. Screenflow. It's similar to Camtasia. So it lets you like record your screen and then edit after the fact.
Right, yeah.
But I definitely appreciate being able to do that all beforehand, so I don't have to live read it and like stutter. And I think it's also just a much better experience to have like the call outs and things like that.
Yeah.
But again, so you find your special serials on Floaty. And if you want to follow their socials, join their Discord, please check the show notes. It's all in there. Okay. Coach P is saying BB serials on the next Tandy Time. Okay. So here we go. TJ is sharing. He's going to show us now on Own the Moment how many people have collected all of the freshman gems. So these people, 34 people. So that's a pretty good chance to hit the one of one. You have a 1 in 34 chance of hitting the one of one Brandon Miller. And he's been a very good player this year. So that's very interesting to see. But you also have someone who's 29 of 30, 27 of 30. You can probably imagine that those people are probably going to top up by the time this is all over. You're probably also going to have people who jump in right at the end because you don't actually need to do it initially. You can wait till like the last day before this thing locks, before this thing takes the snapshot. So that's it. The low ask of the entire freshman gem set, as you can see on Own the Moment, is just over $7,000, down 11% over the last week. But I feel like we might see that thing spike up when we're getting closer and closer to snapshot. If this thing works the way the old challenges used to, I'm sure you remember that, TJ. I sometimes yearn for those days of the old challenges when we would all guess, this player has tattoos, or this player has a cat at home.
Winners had all kinds of like crazy theories going on, like the cold weather or something.
I think that wasn't that one that was actually correct. It was like the international players.
Yeah, something like.
Yeah, that was awesome. I gotta admit, I miss those days.
I agree.
Because I'm someone who really enjoys speculation. I love speculating. And I really love those days of the crazy. I mean, obviously it's a terrible new user experience who happens to buy their favorite player the day before like a challenge ends and sees the value cut in half. So it's probably better that we don't have that anymore, but I do miss those days.
Yes. The glory days indeed. Truly the wild, wild west. I mean, as a just final comment here is,
yeah,
not surprisingly, the Wemby accounting for almost half of the entire set, 2875 out of 7K. So that's going to be the bottleneck, if you will, to completing the set.
Yeah, it sure will. We'll see how high that goes. Are any of those still in packs, by the way?
Must be the Top Shot account.
Does that first username mean are those?
It's got to be still in packs, I'm guessing. See right here. In a pack, 21 in a pack.
Wow. Should we go buy up a few of those packs on the pack marketplace?
Burned. 27% burned.
Yeah, of course, for the legendaries. It's crazy to think about that these $3,000 moments, 55 of them were burned. It's amazing.
That's crazy, actually. It's really, that's a lot of value burned.
Yeah. You want to show us also? You can show off OTM and show us what these packs are going for.
Sure.
So the freshman gem packs.
Yeah. So for anybody out there that is not familiar, this is our website, Own the Moment. You can check it out for all your analytics needs for NBA Top Shot, also for NFL All Day. And some of the newest features that we've added are all around the pack marketplace. So the pack sniper shows you in real time as packs are listed. They come right up here. You don't even have to refresh the screen. And if you're someone that is looking for a specific pack, you can type in freshman gems here and sit on this page and wait for one to get listed. Now, if you're looking for a rare pack, you're going to be waiting a while. But if you some of the quick rips, for example, will get posted there a lot. And then we have this pack marketplace tool. So here we can see all of the packs that are listed, who the listing person is, when they listed it, the lowest ask, all the recent transactions. So this is the latest thing that we've added. And as you can see, original pack price, $250, but been consistently selling at nearly 2K. So
do you ever look at the people buying and you see the same name over and over again? Do you ever think to yourself, like,
what's happening?
I don't know. Like, I don't know what kind of thoughts you should be thinking to yourself.
You know what? I try not to think about it too much, because if I went down the rabbit hole, I probably wouldn't like what I end up finding at the end of it. Usually when you go down rabbit holes, the ending is exactly what you think it is. So just kind of, yeah.
Well, just people who love the thrill of the rip. That's what you were talking about
that's
earlier.
That's what it's got to be, right? That's what it's got to be.
You were talking about it, about you pay a premium because you just love the thrill of the rip.
Yeah. I mean, hey, people do love ripping packs. There's no doubt about that. And then speaking of people ripping packs, you can check out the pack feed, where as every pack gets opened, you can see who opened it, what were the contents of the pack.
Could we get some kind of like a ping whenever somebody opens like just a crazy pack, you know, like, wow, this person spent a $900 premium and it was worth 15 grand.
Yeah, we probably could create like another Twitter bot that does that or something, like packs valued at over X number of dollars or something. Live Token does some, what do? They do when people pulled the jersey numbers and serials and stuff.
Yeah, the number ones, on the serials, the perfect serials, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always endless possibilities.
But that one right here, there's an example right there. That's a quick rip. That first one's a quick rip, and they hit the Steph Curry video game number. So from $9, they hit a $73 pack. So congratulations, MBrick03. That's a familiar name, actually, MBrick. So congratulations. Let's see, TJ. What else do we got here?
We're on here, too. So,
TJ, so people in the chat were asking about cheesesteaks. Like we might have covered this like 2 years ago when you first came on the show, but here's my take as someone who's not from Philadelphia. Those popular cheesesteak places, the Geno's and whatever, are overrated. They are not the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. They are just the crappy tourist trap. Am I warm or am I cold?
You know, I think that a lot of Philly people have that same take. I actually personally like Pat's and Geno's. So to me, the classic Philly person answer is exactly that of like, oh no, you got to try out, you know, John's or Pat's and I like all cheesesteaks. First off, I guess is what I'll start with. Cheesesteak is probably my top like favorite food, top five easily.
Mm.
Maybe that just comes from living in Philly, but I.
Cheesesteaks are delicious.
There's been times in my life where it's like, you know, every week I'm getting at least one cheesesteak in. Not always the Philly cheesesteak place, because you can just get the Pat's and Geno's style with all that whiz, it's good, but you can't be eating those on too regular of a basis. But to answer Jump Shoot's question, oh, he asked it again. This is like three times he's asked me now. I'm a cheese whiz guy all day, Jump Shoot. Cheese whiz all day. Cheese whiz fried onions. Whiz with, cheese with, every single time. So that's my go-to. I will say that my favorite, twice now at our house here in Philly, we have hosted cheesesteak parties where my fiance and her friends are very official about it. So everyone brings a different cheesesteak. We chop them up and number all of them and then do a blind taste test.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone tastes each cheesesteak and then gives it their rating on. We have like four different categories, like the cheese, the bread, the steak, whatever, an overall rating. Mm. And the last time we did that, the cheesesteak that won, which is also my favorite, is DeLisandro's, which is like, it's about 20 minutes outside of the city, but very, very good cheesesteak there for anyone that's in the Philly area. And then Steve's is also one of my favorites, but it's also funny when you do this blind taste test, like you have in your mind, I'm not really a big Geno's fan. And then all of a sudden you're tasting these cheesesteaks and you end up voting for Geno's as your second favorite. And you're like, oh, yeah, I do actually like this.
Wow. Do you think that Philly should be known for its cheese more so than other states? You know, like Wisconsin is known for its cheese. Does Philly deserve to be higher up in the national zeitgeist when we talk about cheese?
Maybe they should. Maybe they should. I mean, definitely for the Whiz cheese. I feel like Whiz cheese is the Philly thing. One of the things that I've always been curious about is anytime I used to make, I don't do this ever anymore, but I've made the mistake in the past, or at least what I think is a mistake, of being not in Philadelphia and being at a restaurant ordering a cheesesteak, and it's always terrible, like very not good. I don't understand why Philly is the only place that can make the cheesesteaks. Like, it can't be that hard.
No, it can't. Just, it's about shaved. The steak has to be really nicely shaven down.
The bread is always key, too. You got to have good bread with a cheesesteak. And yeah, there's like two different kinds. There's kind of some of the places do more of the shredded beef. Others will do like patties. Like Gino's is kind of like thin patties of beef. So in some ways, they all taste very similar, but they do have distinct differences, which
yeah.
I love. I might have to get a Philly cheesesteak tonight now or tomorrow, Tandy. I'm
a little jealous. I wish I had access to that. I love the shaved steak, and also Cheese Whiz is not really cheese though, right? What is it, like corn syrup and oil?
I don't even want to know, man. I don't even want to know. But it's anything but cheese. It is not cheese. You could tell me it's anything else, and I'd be like, yep, that makes more sense than thinking it's cheese, because it is not cheese. Not the healthiest thing. Yeah, some people will go with like provolone or whatever, an American cheese. But yeah, if you want a true Philly cheesesteak, in my opinion, you got to be throwing that Whiz on.
Throw that Whiz on. Okay. What about March Madness, TJ? You guys have your March Madness game. I am not a big college hoops guy. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you that. But what's going on? Can you catch us up? Can you catch up the casuals? There's been some games today.
I sure can. Sure can. Yeah. So March Madness off and running. We have our game TOC Madness. TOC, for anyone not familiar, stands for the Owners Club. It originated from our fantasy football game that you have. We've now created a March Madness version of it. You buy packs. In the packs, there are cards that have all of the teams in the tournament, and then also a stat category. And then it's a fantasy game from there. So if you have the Houston assist card, you play that in your lineup. For every assist that Houston gets as a team, you score in our game 5 fantasy points. So it creates kind of a different spin on how to enjoy the March Madness games outside of just your traditional bracket. And then we have a contest every weekend. The first contest locked earlier today, so that one will take place for this first round of 64 and then the second round. But then next week for the Sweet 16, there will be another weekend contest. So we're doing these, we're calling them thrill packs right now, where we discounted the price from $25 to $5, but they still have all 64 teams. So you're just taking the gamble that you could open up a pack and have cards from 4 teams that don't even make it to the Sweet 16 and are completely useless. But you have the chance to pull a UConn or whatever that may be. And then also we have a exchange program as a part of it, where if you have cards that you either don't want to use or get eliminated, you can exchange them in and then purchase an additional discounted pack. So it ended up being fun. We have like almost $15,000 in the prize pool across the 3 contests, which I think is pretty solid. And yeah, people ripping packs all week long, can rip them all weekend long. And then start next week, we'll have Sweet 16 packs. So if you're out there and missed the first contest, you can still get involved starting next week.
Very nice. And it looks like the only upset so far today is BYU. For those of you who are keeping track of the games, that's always fun to see. Like, I don't know why it is, but always in March Madness, you have these crazy game winners from Cinderella teams. I think that's obviously what makes March Madness so much fun. So hopefully we get some of that action. Anyways, everybody, we have another giveaway. We have one more giveaway, and that is Bradley Beal. So all you got to do is enter hashtag Beal into the chat. Make sure you are in the chat. Make sure you have liked, subscribed, ideally, because thanks to our sponsor, Floaty.io, We're going to have more of this goodness, more of these good giveaways week in and week out. I've already purchased rares for the entire next 4-week stretch. So it's going to be good. And I saw also we have a couple people here from the Philippines because I engage with them on Twitter and it's like 5 a.m. for them. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I hope one of you win. But I think in the future, I'm going to make sure at least one or two of these is winnable for those of you who just leave a comment on Twitter or something like that. So yeah, enter your hashtag Beal into the chat to have a chance of winning. And let's see if there's anything else we should talk about. We had our mixed packs, of course. Those have done pretty, I thought they did well. I think they're selling at a premium on the pack marketplace. That's another thing TJ could look up really quickly. But if I went to go look it up, let's just see what that pack is going for. My internet's very slow.
Wait, which ones are these again? I can find them.
The Throwdown for the Win mixed packs. Oh, I found it. Wow, it's going for 62. What were those? Hold on. What was the original price of those? Oh, wow.
$5.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So I got one of those packs, and I decided to rip it. I should have held on to it and sold it and just bought whatever I wanted.
Really? I mean, that's what I'm saying is all the – but you are right in that when you look at the buyer's list, I mean, it's the same people buying a bunch of packs.
It's people who really, really like ripping packs.
People are just hooked on ripping these packs, huh? Crazy.
So when I bought that, I got one pack. I reserved two. I got one. As soon as I saw what they were selling for right off the bat, they were selling for like a little over $30, maybe, I don't know what it was, $35 or something like that. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to rip. Because the last couple of times that I've got these chance at a second rare, I always get a second rare, like the last two or three times after I sold them. So this time I ripped, I only got one rare. But it looks like I should have just held on and sold it later. So you never know, though. Like, do you see any trends, TJ, on these packs in terms of when the secondary values, do they spike initially? Do they go down really fast initially because there's so many people looking to flip? Have you seen any trends in that regard?
It's a good question. I haven't specifically looked. I feel like for the most, from what I remember looking at, it seems like they've remained pretty consistent. Like the rookie revelations, for example, I feel like 3 weeks in a row now, or at least two and a half weeks, whatever, I've looked and they've held strong at the same kind of price point. Yeah. So it seems, I think there's also elements to one thing that we want to look at eventually. It's not super easy to get, but it would be cool if you could see what is remaining in the packs versus what has already been pulled. But it's not my understanding. I'm not our data guy, but it's not that simple that you can just look at it, because I think the different packs are in kind of different, like they sell the packs at different times. And so you don't know what is necessarily in which ones. I don't know. There's some reasons as to why we can't quite get that view, but that would be kind of cool. We actually had a tool like that for familiar with DraftKings Rainmakers at all. It's like their NFT fantasy game, whatever.
I've heard of it.
Kind of irrelevant, but it same idea. You buy packs from them that have cards that you can use in the fantasy game. And for those tools, we had exactly, in golf, for example, Scottie Scheffler, it'd be like there's 25 total in the packs and 15 of them have been opened and 10 still remain. So you could kind of see,
right,
like, oh, of the packs remaining, is there a disproportional amount of Scottie Scheffler or two less of it? And then we also had a pack simulator tool where you click a button and then it simulates, if you open one of these packs right now, what could you get? And what you could get was based on what is actually remaining. So if you had already pulled the Scottie Scheffler number 5 serial, that would not be in the simulation. So like,
sure.
If we could eventually get to something like that, I feel like that'd be pretty cool. Cause then you can just kind of get the feeling of what it's like to open a pack and then go out and actually hit the market yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Eddie Dunks is doing a Twitter thread right now about that exact topic. I think he wants people to retweet it and win something for retweeting it. Everyone can win except for Jay, is what his tweet says. anyway, we're going to run this Brad Beal giveaway. Let's see. Good luck. I'm rooting for the Philippines. Here we go. Let's see who wins it. And if Max Headroom wins, we're going to have to do it again. Let's see. Perfect Cereal. You are our winner. Please give me your Perfect Cereal username, sir, in the chat. And I do actually have a drop I wanted to use of when I think about opening my pack and having one rare versus now being able to sell it for $60, I definitely feel like this.
Brother, what's that? What's that, brother?
That's so stupid. All right. Perfect Cereal, if you could just give me your username in the chat, please, sir.
We need a seeing that drop, seeing someone mention cereal in the chat, and seeing Perfect Cereal as the username. Yeah. A new drop idea for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something about cereal. So like Fruit Loops. I don't know. So there's got to be some kind of funny cereal drop at some point. If you're just ever looking waste your time and make a new drop. I think
that's a good idea.
Something there.
That's a good idea. I'll definitely write that down. Cereal drop. All right. TS Perfecto. Okay. That's true. Honey O's. That was when I talked to Alexo. So back in the day of the beginning of when I started doing interviews, I think Alexo was one of my first interviews. And I asked him, like, I actually don't even remember how this came up. Actually, you know what? It was AG's recommendation to ask people this question. That's what it was. So I asked Alexo and he said his favorite cereal is Honey O's. Is that still Honey O's, Alexo? Are you still going hard at Honey O's every day, like 2 years later? Anyway, oh, it's true. Fist bump. TJ, we're going to have to watch the fist bump. I can't remember if you saw this already, but let's play it.
So, I appreciate it. Yeah, man, that was an awkward fist bump.
I've seen that and it is never gets old. I could watch that over and over. Judge, wherever you are, if you see that, we miss you.
Come back, Judge. You know, I'm in Judge's Discord and like he made a video a few weeks ago around the Super Bowl. And I was like, oh, Judge is back. And it was literally about Super Draft and how they were giving away Taylor Swift tickets. And it was like
he's still doing the Super Draft thing, huh?
Yeah, he's still working for Super Draft. They got him working day and night. I think that's part of the reason he doesn't stream anymore, perhaps. But it doesn't make sense to me because Super Draft is like an up and coming, you know, sports gambling, whatever fantasy website. Wouldn't you want somebody just making content all day and plugging your product?
Right.
I don't know.
What better face than the Judge?
What better? There's no
better face. I'll tell you what, you talk about the glory days. I would sit. Whatever I was doing late at night, I would always have Judge on my side screen. Just like it was just perfect. I mean this respectfully, perfect background noise to whatever I was actually doing. You know, like
it wasn't
the primary thing. You don't just sit down there and put 100% of your effort into watching Judge, but you sure as hell put it on in the background for 3-4 hours while
exactly
whatever else you're doing.
Exactly. It's 3-4 hours of like looking at Live Token. And sometimes saying really crazy stuff. That's what people loved about the Judgy. But he's abandoned his boy. He's abandoned his child, as they say in There Will Be Blood.
Oh, look, there's Eddie Dunks in the chat. Speaking of which, also, I was looking through that Twitter thread. WJF, he's like a Live Token guy, right? Yeah, what he said is the exact issue of the packs don't go on chain until they go to the marketplace. So that's why like all of our pack stuff that we have is pack marketplace stuff, not like undistributed pack stuff. So that there's something about that is why we can't have that data.
Yeah.
But if Top Shot gave it to us, in the API, then we could have it. If anyone out there from Top Shot is listening, we would love
because they pack they package the packs beforehand anyways. It's not like they get packaged only when you are like about to buy them or about to open them. So they're all like prepped, but they're only on the blockchain once they're like in your account.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's all I got. TJ, what are your final words? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, yes. Give me the entire floor. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Tandy, for having me on. Always fun to talk some Top Shot. You see it below my name. Give me a follow on Twitter at TJ Lasig. Check out Own the Moment. Like and subscribe to Tandy's channel. This was a fun time. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. And we didn't get to talking about fatherhood at all, but we'll do that maybe
another time.
But hey, get back to it. Go take care of your little guy and keep on trucking. And thanks again to our sponsor today, Floaty.io. Look at the show notes, see everything you need to see to get caught up and get in their Discord and follow their Twitters. And we will see you next week. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. Static selector.